With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily. It is the Thursday edition, which usually means we get some hot takes from the hot take queen, the old chat machine, Steph Chase, regarding all things AEW. But no go, because tomorrow night is AEW Dynamite. It's been switched, of course, for this week and is the go-home show for Double or Nothing. So before we check out today, we will get Steph's predictions and all of that good stuff.
Are you going to stay up for Dynamite, Alex? Three to five?
On a Friday night? Is it 3 to 5? Wow.
Yeah, 3 to 5. That sucks.
I might have to, you know, I know I'm showing my age. I might have to have a sleep before.
I feel like I have to, and it's a pressure I put on myself. I am going to have to stay up for it. Yeah, I actually did not watch it live last weekend. People noticed.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big loss of your gimmick, Steph, right?
I know it is. So I'm going to have to do it this. Yeah, I'm going to have to do it on Friday.
Listen, I'm delighted to have Steph alongside me today, as usual, for the Thursday slot. Steph Chase coming fresh off the Cody call. We'll get into that a little bit along with the news today. Steph, how are thy? How are you?
Well, I don't know if anyone can notice, but I feel like I'm losing my voice a bit, and I think that it's going to be gone by Monday. If it holds out to Monday, that would be awesome. But I'm good. I'm really busy. Today I've been filming a video that I thought would be hard, but not that hard, and it's turned into like the biggest video project I've ever done. So there was that. Wow. And yeah, I've just been, it's Double or Nothing week. So literally I've been getting up at 8 a.m. every morning and going to bed at 2, just doing stuff for Double or Nothing week, like whether it's editing videos, watching things and taking notes for videos, all of it, writing stuff up. Yeah, it's nonstop.
The chase that runs the place. Indeed,
I love that.
What else have we got here? Elizabeth Stallion. Alex, are you cheating on Fanta with Pepsi? I am, but this came with a meal the other day. So I didn't go out of my way to buy it. There's still Fanta in the fridge. Come on now. Don't do me like that. It's okay to have one to break up the monotony every now and again.
It's okay to cheat once in a while.
That's the lesson to be learned. Yes, apparently. Don't get your morals from Wrestling Daily. Steph, listen, this is what we're going to do today. Because there is no AEW Dynamite, we're going to get into the bit of the Tom Phillips news, SummerSlam news, and, of course, what Cody said on his call, because Twitter is alight, ablaze already. We're going to do a Q&A with Steph. That's what we're going to do, guys. 8:30. You saw it here. Steph is easily the most requested Q&A co-host here on the Wrestling Daily, out of all three of them. So you guys are going to get the chance to ask whatever you like for free. I don't mind, in the live chat. We will do that. I'm not going to make people pay for quality Steph content. They can. But
Alex is paying me off for it, though, to agree to this.
That's right. Backhanded. But absolutely, guys, if you do want to get Ultra Chats in about anything, of course, you know what the deal is. WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily. Give us your Double or Nothing predictions, anything of your reactions to the news. You can do it right there. And, you know, we'll get the live chat going, of course, at 5:30. But if you want to have something in particular read out, that is exactly where you have to go. Steph,
you can never see my t-shirts, and I've got a Sting t-shirt on today. I just want everyone to know.
Can you stand up a little? I'd love to see it.
I'll stand up a little. Hang on. You don't want to see underneath.
Look at that. That's a great tee.
Oh yeah, it's great tee. I bought this from the US store. It came the day after they announced the international store. So
of course, always the way. Let me tell you something. I'm Sami Zayn today. There you go.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's so t-shirt. Cool.
This is one of those really t-shirts, cool. And I think this is always the best wrestling t-shirt. So I would wear this anywhere. I don't think anyone would go, oh, that's a wrestling t-shirt. It's just a good t-shirt, right? Like, you know, yeah. They're the best.
But I will wear a wrestling t-shirt anywhere. I am waiting for the day that I'm walking down the street and my absolute dream man comes up to me and says, oh my God, is that a like whatever t-shirt? And I say, yes. And that's how it happens.
And that, yeah,
no
that
one
is.
Ever comments on my wrestling t-shirts when I'm out, like never. And it makes me so sad.
You know what? I've been excited to get back to like wrestling shows to, you know, not just to meet whoever and do interviews and have a good time, but like the fans, right? Or people who watch our shows and you can actually interact with them. I think you're going to be one of the most that people are like, wow, Steph Jace, like you're going to graduate to celebrity by the next time we're at the O2. I'm certain of it.
Oh, I hope so. I'd love to meet all of the listeners in person. Absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait for that as well. I just can't wait to go out. I did go out at the weekend though.
That's why I said it, Steph. You look like you had a really good time. Yes.
I had a great time. I went to back to all these places that I haven't been to in over a year because I didn't really go out the last time they opened stuff up. So I went to all my favorite like rock metal bars in Camden and stuff like that, and some bars central, even shops, you know, just everything. Spent like 3 days just having fun again, getting dressed up and going out. So it's really good. It's really good.
Very good. I mean, I was just looking at some of the comments wearing about wrestling shirts in the live chat. I have become that guy where like 70% of my wardrobe is just wrestling stuff. And I'm like, man, like the other day I was thinking about what I'm going to wear. And I was like, man, I really need to actually buy other stuff. But there you have it. 10 minutes in, we should probably do the titular news, Steph.
Yes.
As you guys will know, Fightful reported today, our good friend Sean Ross Sapp, Tom Phillips has left WWE. Now, this is quite the surprising turn for many reasons. I think universally we've seen on Twitter, most people felt he was pretty damn good at his job. He never really felt like he had a permanent home anywhere in WWE. He kind of floated around from show to show and did a good job wherever he went. I would argue the trio of himself, Samoa Joe and Byron Saxon was probably the best WWE have had in a while. That was the best.
Yes.
That's the best commentary team I think they've had in a while. I mean, NXT, but yeah. So poor Tom Phillips. And as I've said before, he was doing a lot behind the scenes. I know from speaking to Andy Shepherd in NXT, the guy who recruited him and got him into WWE was Tom Phillips. Tom Phillips he was doing like a lot of Michael Cole stuff behind the scenes in terms of producing the other commentators and giving them tips and helping coach them. He was very much being groomed in that role. Day late, you know, we were just talking about him yesterday. I think Louis was talking about him yesterday, and now here we are. He's out of a job. I don't know what's happened. I mean, I'm going to do my best to get a Tom Phillips interview, but I mean, I think it's a very surprising one, Steph.
It is very, very surprising. I think that you're right with the best commentary team being him, Samoa Joe and Byron. They were really great. And I find, because I think about a week or two ago, I proper ranted about WWE commentary. And he is someone that I find inoffensive and easy to listen to. So it's a surprise and it's sad to see him go. Like, I just feel the kind of commentator they want is the kind of commentator I don't want. I think the kind of commentator they want is Corey Graves, who is the opposite of what I want. I was sad to see Adnan go as well because I just thought he was, I mean, was he great at it? No. But I found him fine, reasonable, could get better. I wouldn't have cut him, but we'll see how this new guy does.
Yeah, Jimmy Smith. That was the reports making around yesterday. I believe Dave Meltzer was first off the bat with that news, but Jimmy Smith is from the MMA world. He's done stuff with Bellator and UFC in the past, and he will now be the main announcer on Monday Night Raw. So very interesting. They're going to partner him with Corey Graves and Byron Saxton again. I've said this in the past. Oh. I don't think Corey helped Adnan in terms
Corey
of
helps destiny. No one. He did not help Renee at all. I mean, I think that was the main problem with Renee, that she was with him. But this guy, I don't know, since he's from that world, I hope he stands up for himself against Corey Graves and tells him not to be a bully.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, I guess we don't know, right? Like, Vince might be telling Corey to be, you know, that much extra or whatever. I wonder if I've actually preferred Corey in, like, the two-man setting when he was on SmackDown is better than maybe the three. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think Corey is bad, but I just don't think he helped somebody who was clearly trying to find his feet, right? Like, I think he needed a lot of help. He was clearly uncomfortable, and he was kind of swallowed up, unfortunately. But alas, Jimmy Smith is now going to get the chance, and we'll see.
I don't know why they don't give a chance to Barrett or someone on Raw, you know, someone.
I guess it's the play-by-play, though, world. Right? Like, Barrett is a good color guy. I wonder if, you know, they're looking for that lead play-by-play, but they had it in Tom Phillips.
But you would think if you're picking a play-by-play guy, you'd pick someone from the wrestling world then?
Yeah, for sure. But no. Like I said, they had it. I don't know.
They had it. Yeah.
I also think Vic Joseph's very good at what he does. Even going back to NXT UK, he was really good there. They're trying so hard to find, and I'm not entirely sure why. You know, they want people from different backgrounds to come in and do the bit. Even Mauro Ranallo, that's probably the best example of somebody who came from a different background and did really, really well. And we all know what happened there, right? He kind of felt squeezed out, and he didn't last either. But I know Ranallo is kind of a divisive commentator. Some people love him, like I loved him for his over-the-top passion. Some people kind of like find it distracting, but I still felt, in terms of those that have tried in recent memory to come into the wrestling world, mm-hmm. he's probably done the best, right? So it's a difficult one. You look at AEW, their commentary team are like wrestling stalwarts, and even Excalibur's been doing it for years, if you think PWG and all things like this, right? So I hate to do the comparison thing, but don't overthink it, right? Just, you had Tom Phillips. I would really love to know why they felt they could get rid of Tom Phillips but hire Jimmy Smith. I don't know.
Yeah.
Silly stuff. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about other news floating around at the moment. And SummerSlam is a hot topic at the moment. It's one of those where I had heard this. Sean Rostap had said the same. SummerSlam to Vegas appeared to be where we were heading, right? Which is very fine by me if we can get out there. There's a bit of contention around the dates. Now, Louis informed me earlier on that the Matt Men podcast, which, by the way, have been really great lately. I know they're affiliated with the Wrestling Observer.
Yeah.
Everything they've been saying has been pretty spot on. So, fair play to them. That's what I'll say for now. They are saying that perhaps it's going to be August 21st, which is a Saturday. And indeed, the same night as Manny Pacquiao and Errol Spence, right? In the same city as Las Vegas, which is pretty crazy. So this is what WrestleVotes have had to say today. The rumors of SummerSlam from Las Vegas taking place outside of Sunday are correct, according to a source. Hearing that internally the show is listed for Saturday the 21st, credit to Andrew Zarian, who is for the Matt Men podcast, for the initial date tweet. He goes on to say, yes, guys, I am aware that Manny Pacquiao fight in Las Vegas the same night. I can only report on what I'm told. Saturday night is happening, though. Update, 8/21st is currently provisional, according to a source. Pacquiao fight wasn't official until the 21st of May. No updates since on document being circulated. The 22nd and Saturday being the Sunday, and Saturday 8/7, I always 7th of August. The American dates throw me off the way they write those. Shown as holds. So they're either going to move earlier in August or they're going to have the Sunday. WWE's preference is Saturday. However, being honest, I'm not entirely sure where that stands as of now. I mean, far be it from me to question what they're saying here, but it would be fairly unprecedented for WWE to move their major pay-per-view to a Saturday. I'm not sure what the reasoning would be behind that. I know that it's the is it Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas is being penciled in. So whether it's down to availability or not, I don't know. But a stadium show it would be. I'm sure there'd be some rationale behind it. Don't know what that is right now. I would be very surprised to see it on a Saturday, though. Not saying it can't happen, of course. But it's weird, right? Like, I guess NXT TakeOvers on, you know, like WrestleMania week was in the week. Do you think they would do that again instead of having to take over on the Saturday? And, you know, it just move all the stuff around.
That's so weird. Do you not think they're doing a two-nighter, do you? That'd be awful.
Yeah, for SummerSlam. Wow.
But Saturday night for us is better, but I prefer if WWE just stuck to Sundays because that's what they've always done. It's so weird. Why after this long, would you say Saturday?
Welcome in fans back as well. Like I don't, and this is not me like questioning what they've said. WWE have done unprecedented things before, even like a two night mania was like, whoa. For the one nighter on a Saturday, I'd really need to know more, right? Like what the logic behind that was, especially moving it on to the, like it actually makes more sense if people are already in town for the Pacquiao Spencer.
Pacquiao,
Have it on the Sunday. People are already in Vegas running it, right? Like, or I don't know. That was the date that was penciled in that I'd last heard. If it is 21st now, cool. I just think it's very interesting. Either way, SummerSlam, stadium show, probably going to pack it out. Vegas, of course, in July is going full tilt for Conor McGregor. Looks like they're doing the same for Pacquiao and Spence. So SummerSlam is likely to be a full stadium show, which is something. It just depends where they're going to put it, I guess.
Yeah, so weird. There's no way they could run head-to-head in the same night as the Pacquiao fight. That's insane.
Yeah, I can't see them doing that. But it's in the same city as well. Man, I don't know.
That makes it even worse. Like, you should definitely go the day after when all these people are there and they're like, oh, might as well go to this wrestling event.
Yeah.
So weird.
Chris Petrie makes a good point here. Pay-per-views on Saturdays are wonderful. Most people are off the next day.
Oh, yeah. They are. I mean, we can agree on that. It's just weird that they would do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a staple for WWE, right? Like, Sundays is pay-per-view day. And, I mean, for me, it doesn't make a difference because I'm up covering the pay-per-view and then, you know, sleeping in anyway. Yeah. But in terms of, like, the Saturday pay-per-views, of course, I enjoy it when, like, TakeOver is always on a Saturday and AEW, I believe, started off that way.
AEW started off on a Saturday and I thought it was the best thing ever. And then they moved to Sundays.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, like, I mean, there's pros and cons, but I would be very surprised if they went out of their way to be on a Saturday in Vegas against the Pacquiao fight. I'd be very surprised, but stranger things have happened, Steph. Speaking of which, shall we move on to the Cody Rhodes call?
Yes.
Cody had his media call today ahead of Double or Nothing this Sunday. And our own Steph Chase was lucky enough to get a question in. So was Louis, actually. Louis got the first question in, as a matter of fact. Steph, what did you say to Cody and what was he saying?
So I just asked him about the rise of AEW over the past 2 years, getting in the fact that at Double or Nothing 2019, which I just watched, he was out there smashing a throne and now he's alone on a Wednesday and they've got a new TV show. And so, yeah, I asked him if he was in any way like surprised to how quickly things had risen for them and if his kind of vision was had been fulfilled. And he basically said that because he grew up in wrestling, he, you know, always knows a lot of time things don't happen. So I guess he's surprised in a way. And he's also in a way not surprised because of, you know, how much work they put into it, but he doesn't take it for granted. And then he kind of talked about the collaborative effort between him and the other EVPs, which might be because someone, Sean, was it, asked him about rumors of dissension? Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it was nice to chat to Cody. He took some WWE shots during that call, didn't he? Like, he basically blamed that rumor on WWE fans.
He really did.
Love it.
He basically said, to kind of quote him, he said that obviously there was no dissension, but he's not surprised since, quote, NXT lost the Wednesday Night Wars.
Yes.
That rumor had started. So combative. Yeah.
I love it. Like, last night, because I'm watching this pay-per-view to retro review it tonight with Benno, like, I tweeted him smashing the throne and said, like, I still stand this. And I got a couple of people saying, like, no, it's really cringe when they do that. I love it. I love it. I hope he smashes another one.
Just keeps doing it.
Love it.
Yeah, I was obviously, like I said many times, I was there at Double or Nothing. And when he did that, that was just such like a big moment. Like, you could feel it.
Yeah.
In the arena, everyone was like, ooh, and it was kind of like, yeah, things were kicking off in earnest, I think we can say. But yeah, I mean, Cody elsewhere on the call was talking about, you know, like the world title stipulation where he cannot challenge for the world title. And he was asked if that was a good thing. You know, since then, he's worked with Wardlow, Steel Cage, MJF, helped launch Darby Allin's TNT, obviously did the open challenge as well, which led to a lot of people signing for AEW, Eddie Kingston in particular. Ricky Starks, and then of course now he's working with Anthony Ogogo, Nightmare Factory product, and he was basically saying that he doesn't regret it, right? He said he eats him up that he can't call himself the best because he thinks when you're the champion, you're the best. But in essence, he said he's very happy with what he's doing, and more to what Steph said earlier, he says that they function as one, the EVPs. He says he talks to the Young Bucks every day, Kenny most days. You know, Kenny.
Nice. That's...
Yeah. I was like, I mean, I don't know why you had to make that distinction, but okay. You know, and basically said, you know, that it all functioning. But I guess the way you can interpret that is Kenny is kind of into what he's doing in and around different companies, and he's got a handle on the women, whereas Cody, I guess, doesn't so much. So I don't know. Maybe that's what he means. But either way, they seem to be getting along, Kenny and Cody, too.
Yes.
And yeah, I don't know. I mean, people have said that these rumors started way before the Wednesday Night Wars ended, but I think it's important to note that the freshest batch did circulate in like the last month or so. I understand why he's addressed it the way that he has, but I'm surprised it took this long, Steph. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's just the easiest rumor to run with in the world, is it not?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think that Cody, he does kind of just do his own thing. And I think that's part of why he took that no title stipulation. And I think that works for him. I think maybe that's kind of the agreement they have, you know, I'll do my own little thing and not interfere with you guys. And maybe that works. And they don't have to be the best friends, you know, in the whole world. So many great bands absolutely hate each other and don't talk to each other. Like, you know, business is business.
Yeah, interesting, right? I also think Cody touched on the promo that has been heard around the world at this point.
I love this about the workshopping.
Now, he did kind of go, that's on me. I misused the words focus groups. I mean, I don't know how he could have. I don't know how he possibly could have done this, but he did. And he tried to state that when he meant focus groups, he meant he voice notes his promos and plays them to his closest friends and coaches and management at AEW, i.e. that's his version of a focus group. Obviously it was taken out of context as if like he's scripting all his promos and he's bringing in all these independent.
My vision was that Cody is in a room like they show in movies. It's almost like a police questioning room doing his promo, and behind the screen, you have all these people being like, press the button if you didn't like that comment. Like, it's so funny. Focus group. Oh my gosh.
That would be something. Let me tell you.
Me and SP3 had fun talking about that one today.
Yeah, that reminds me, right? We did promote this on the show yesterday. You can trust me, Steph. I'll always promote you. Look, there you go.
Yes.
So how did it go? Talk me through it.
Oh, it's really, really good. We went through all the matches, give our predictions, some stuff we had the same kind of ideas on, other stuff we didn't. I had a bit of a mini meltdown over the Inner Circle. There's more of those to come in the following days. But yeah. But SP3 is the man to talk about Cody's promo and focus groups for sure.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if you want to hear some thoughts on that.
I love that man. I love him greatly. Look, before we're going to get into the Q&A section, I am going to get some predictions with the Double or Nothing. So let me just say for the live chat now, if you have any questions for Steph and I don't care what it is, wrestling or otherwise, get them into the live chat and I will scroll through them and we'll get going as soon as
we're done. Make sure they're focus grouped first, though.
That's right. I mean, I might have to focus group my answers. I don't know. but yeah, let's kick things off then, Steph. Let's talk Double or Nothing 2021. The first prediction I want to get from you is from the Casino Battle Royale, because that will start things down the road. I do believe this is everybody who has been stated for it, so bear with me.
Yeah.
And
he's going to read them all out.
Exactly. Christian Cage, Matt Sydal, Powerhouse Hobbs, Penta, Jungle Boy, Matt Hardy, Mark Quinn, Isaiah Cassidy, The Blade, Evil Uno, Colt Cabana, Preston Vance, so Dark Order, Griff Garrison, Brian Pillman Jr., Max Caster, Anthony Bowens, a lot of tag teams in here, but, you know, QT Marshall, Nick Camarotto, Dustin Rhodes, Lee Johnson, and, of course, there is always the surprise entrant. Now, to me, Steph, Christian Cage is probably the most likely winner. But in true AEW fashion, that might be, it's too obvious, so it might not be him. But it would make sense to me, since you get a future AEW World Championship match, Christian Cage and Omega at some time this summer. Just makes sense.
For me, Christian Cage, safe pick. Out there pick, Powerhouse Hobbs.
Ooh, yeah, I like that. I like that. I can't go too wrong with that. Let's get into the other matches as they line up. Serena Deeb and Rio for the NWA World Women's Championship. I've really enjoyed Serena Deeb recently. Rio, though, of course, we know is like a Kenny Omega fan. Or Kenny Omega is a fan of her, I should say. And she's a big favorite in the AEW company, and rightly so. She's great. What do you see happening here? Serena keeping hold of it?
Yeah, Serena's keeping hold of it. She's not dropping that title on a buy-in for another company. a logic one.
That is a logic one. The Young Bucks and John Moxley and Eddie Kingston. Now, this is one of those for me where it's my heart says one thing, so my head says another. What about you?
I am going to be bold and say it's Moxley and Kingston winning this.
That's what my heart says.
But your head
says the Bucks.
Look, man, I've predicted the Bucks to lose those titles so many times now, so you're probably right.
Yeah, it's one of those where, like, just the way you have to consider, I guess, their story and trajectory, which is kind of outside of everything else. But I want Moxley and Kingston to win it. They're just so much goddamn fun and great. Like, and they're the hot hand. They're probably the best babyface tag team in wrestling. So, like, you know, go with your hot hand.
See, my prediction was Bucks lose, Moxley Kingston short reign, where they're dethroned by the Good Brothers. Then Good Brothers, Young Bucks dissension, because they did it and the Bucks didn't.
Yeah, no, I'm all for that. That dissension has to come sooner or later, I guess.
Yeah.
Moving along, Sting and Darby Allin versus Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. Man, it would be something if Sting, in his first in-ring match in about 6 years, lost.
I know. Nah, Sting's going to win. Sting and Darby Allin are 100% going to win. Scorpio Sky is there to tap out to a Scorpion Deathlock.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a great spot, by the way, for Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page to be in. Let's not get it twisted. Nobody loses by being in that match, in my opinion. So I would happily be in there taking a pin from Sting if I was anyone.
I'd let Sting pin me for sure.
Get that fan out, Steph. God damn. Hikaru Shida and Britt Baker. This has to be the anointment of Britt Baker, doesn't it?
Yes, 100%. That's an easy one too. It's Britt Baker. There's no further discussion needed. It would be crazy to not put it on her right now.
It really would. Again, you have to go with your hot hand. Miro against Lance Archer for the TNT Championship. I know technically Dante Martin could be in here, but he won't. Miro and Lance Archer for the TNT title. This is a match that, you know, if you look down the card, there's loads of obvious ones, right? We're like, oh, yeah, Young Bucks and Moxley and Kingston, that's going to be great. And, like, Britt Baker, obviously, and, you know, whatever. You know, the Stadium Stampede. But, like, low-key, Miro and Lance Archer, I am pumped for.
Yeah, it's going to be a hoss fight. It really is. I think Miro, though, he's winning, of course. I think this is another obvious one. You wouldn't put the title on Miro for 2 weeks, but good spot for Lance Archer.
Yeah, absolutely. Hangman Page and Brian Cage. I mean, my instincts tell me Hangman.
I can't even say what comment I was just reading there.
I bet I know what it is.
Hangman Page for this one. He took the loss, so he wasn't the championship contender, so he needs his win back, and he's got the Dark Order to help him.
Give it to him. Give it to him, I say. Elsewhere, we have got Cody Rhodes and Anthony Ogogo. Now, of course, this is very interesting because Ogogo has been booked like a phenom to this point. Cody Rhodes may be taking some time off soon. We keep assuming that when anyone's having a baby, I guess. But Seth Rollins has set the blueprint in recent memory that everyone's going, oh, they're going to take time off. Do you think this is Ogogo getting a massive win, or is Cody going to win?
You see, unlike the other ones we've just been through, this is one that you can debate, but I think it's a go-go because I think it's a huge, it'd be a huge misstep to make this man lose his first big match. It would make me wonder what the point of him was in the first place anyway, like to build him up like this. So yeah, I don't think Cody, I think it's even a bad look if Cody wins, you know what I mean? Like for Cody. So yeah, I think a go-go.
I guess in a weird, perverse way, it would be like Vince McMahon or if Triple H is trying to make someone in NXT and then he beats him. Like, do you know what I mean? It would be a bit, It all depends how you do it though, because Dominic, you know, I know it's not exactly the same, but Dominic being in there in his debut with Seth Rollins, I think it actually worked out well for him. Like, you know, everyone came away going, Dominic did great, right? So he didn't, even though he lost, people didn't really go, oh. And the same with Pat McAfee and Adam Cole. Pat McAfee lost, but everyone was kind of like, Pat McAfee, wow, like he did so much better than you thought. The difference here is Ogogo is like a beast, right? So, like, you know, the presentation matters more that he wins, I think.
And it's not his debut. I mean, I know he's only had guys that he's squashed, but it's still not right to have him squash those guys. And then, like a month into his wrestling career, like it just takes Cody to take him out. You know, I just don't see that being the correct decision.
I see True Hill Heat popped in, SP3.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. I'm here to ask Cody, was there any black people in his focus group besides Brandy, of course? Oh, God damn. I wonder. Anyway, moving forward, we have some other matches to take care of here. That would be, what haven't we done? Stadium Stampede. There you go. We've only got two left. Stadium Stampede. The Pinnacle, the Inner Circle. I'm not even going to say anything here out of the fearing Steph's wrath. Steph, tell me why the Inner Circle are going to win.
Inner Circle are going to win because, number one, they've been in a Stadium Stampede before, so they know what to do. Number two, the stakes are so high for them and they love each other so much that there's no way they can lose. And thirdly, because we've got fans here, I think they're going to be really nice and they're going to make the match finish in the ring in Daly's place. It's going to move. I think that's what they're going to do. And once you get, Jericho and Sammy and Jake Hager and Santana and Ortiz in the ring, they're just absolutely unbeatable unless there's a cage around it, but whatever. And they're going to win.
I love
they're not breaking up.
I love the own asterisks you're putting next to what you say. You know, apart from this, apart from that. But they are going to win.
They're
going to win. Oh, man. I must say, right, like, and I'm being straight up, I do think the Pinnacle will win. But I can't imagine the Inner Circle breaking up. Like,
why would the Pinnacle win two straight matches against them? Who's booking this?
But where do you go from here?
Oh my God, you go to Jericho versus MJF or Jericho versus Wardlow to get to MJF.
But do you need the Inner Circle to exist for that to happen?
Yes!
No, you wanted to. You wanted to. That's different. Jericho could go after MJF and Wardlow as vengeance and he's angry, babyface.
But he needs friends. What would poor Jake Hager do if he wasn't able to stand behind Jericho and smile? What would he do? Do you want him to go out there and say, "We the people" again? Are you one of those people? No, I want Jake Hager to be happy.
Yeah, that's right, actually. That's a very good point. What the hell would Jake Hager do? Think about it, guys.
Why is no one thinking about Jake Hager and his happiness?
I hope, right, if MJF is going for the pin on Sunday, before he does it, he thinks about Jake Hager's happiness.
Think about Jake Hager's happiness. Please.
Last but not least, of course, we've got Omega, Cassidy and Pac. Man, this just screams fun to me, this triple threat. It looks like it'll have, if anything, Orange Cassidy, he thrive even more because he's so good in like short bursts. I think a triple threat would be great. It's got to be Kenny though, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. It's Kenny. This is just Kenny's little funsy match because he doesn't really have any contenders.
I think that, and I'm cool with it, right? Because they have to keep Kenny busy until we get to Hangman Page. That's my mind. Yeah. That's my booking. Yeah. I'm sure there's other ideas, but you do have to tick him over before you get him to who you really want him to get to. And this screams like it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it will be a fun match. Meaningless, but fun.
Guys, it is time. What do you want to ask Steph Chase? What do you want to ask me, Alex McCarthy? Ask what you like in the live chat now, and I will pick up the best stuff. Steph's going to cry mid.
Thank you.
Inner Circle promo, I believe.
Well, I definitely cried on Sunday if they break up.
SP3 says I could guide Cody on what the ethnic community want to hear. I'm sure you could. What else have we got here? There's a lot of different. I saw somebody ask earlier what your favourite place to drink was in London. And I do believe that was Adam Pearson. So let me. Mm-hmm. I'm scrolling for my life here. On the way, what have I got here? Question. When was the last time you think WWE actually made a proper babyface? It's because nowadays they can't a babyface without making them a heel first after they ruin them as a face. I know what you're saying. Like. Mm-hmm. But even The Rock, who is one of the biggest baby faces ever, was a failed baby face, turn heel.
Yeah.
Turn great baby face. And I think that's exactly what's happening to Roman Reigns. So there's nothing wrong with that formula if the ends justifies the means, right?
It's so Yeah, carry on, sorry.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's very difficult these days to go, this is a baby face, and everyone just organically loves them. So I don't think you can really criticise the route to it as long as you get there. The last person they probably made that was huge is Becky. But again, when they turned her heel, I think they were turning her heel. I don't think they thought she was going to catch like wildfire and they would have to just acknowledge her as a baby face so quickly.
Yeah, I don't think you can just present anyone as a baby face like straight off and it work, you know, bringing someone out and saying like you must like them, because not every today. Single great, but not even in the times, like, because The Rock, Austin, even Hogan were not, you know, had to go through a period of not being a baby face to be a baby face. So the baby face is the hardest thing to make. I mean, I wouldn't put Becky is someone they did a good job with, because I think that was all just totally organic, and I don't think they wanted her to take off at all. And maybe NXT Bayley, but they were that. But NXT Bayley was a very good baby face.
Yeah, she was very likable, right? Like a lot. I mean, before people started getting tired of her, as people do in WWE, she was really well liked as a baby face. So I would say, and that's an intentional thing as well. So yeah, that's actually not a bad call, Bayley. Like we said with Becky, that was more, they turned her and she was meant to be a heel in that role, but people didn't, I don't think WWE expected people to love the heel Becky as much as they did, but there you go. It's like the New Day. They were meant to be baby faces and everyone was like, what the hell is this? And very, very quickly, WWE had to go, okay, with their heels. And then people ended up loving them. And they have done for years now. So, you know, it's a very, very difficult thing. But, you know, either way. What else have we got going on here? Hey, Steph, why are you single when you're so pretty? Also, are you Irish? You sound Irish.
I am Irish, yes. Thank you for picking that up. Why am I single?
It is.
Thank you for saying I'm pretty. I'm single because I am married to wrestling.
That's a very good reason to be single. WrestleScope said, Steph, are finally able to come to the US for an AEW show. Will you and I be able to get together for a drink? I guess you too, Alex. Well, thanks for the tag along. WrestleScope, are you out here shooting your shots on my show? Come on, man. What's going on?
If Alex is chaperoning, I'll certainly have a drink.
Right. I'm like this. You don't want to get out. I'm watching you, brother. Yusef, Jake Hayman deserves happiness. Yeah, he does.
Thank you. Yusef is great and he's very accurate. What distracted me earlier was I could only half read some comments about 60-year-old men.
That's your bag now.
That's my bag.
Right, what other questions have we got going on in the live chat? I did see Adam Pearson, but I just can't find it right now. So I'm just going to ask you, Steph, have you got a favourite spot in London that you like to hit for a drink?
Yeah, there's a bar in central London called Retro Bar that I love. It's like full of pictures of musicians, like old bands. I love that. In Camden, the Devonshire Arms, I love that place. It's like old rock bar full of pictures of bands as well, the wall. Yeah. So that's the kind of place I like. I like places like that where they're good photo opportunities that play music made before 1990. And that's a good time for me.
I like the Wheat Sheaf in London Bridge because it's right next to my office. So a lot of people go there.
Yeah.
I obviously haven't been there as much as I'd like to in recent years, but that's kind of a favourite haunt. There's so many good places. In Piccadilly Circus, there's like a... it's like a Vodka Revolution somewhere, which sounds shite, but it actually is great fun. So, yeah, there's a few places in London. Man, I'd love to go out drinking in London again. On July 3rd, I am going for a stag do in London, in Shoreditch. Woo! So if anyone's around, I'm having a good time.
Oh my gosh, WrestleScope will fly over.
No, look, Steph, if you say you're coming out to meet me, I fully expect him over there. Oh, wow. Why the fuck have I been paying full price, Adam? What is this?
Wow.
Come on, man. Your friend owns it. God damn. Great shout. What else have we got going on here? There's quite a few good ones in it at the moment that I've missed since the last one. wait, who needs a chaperone, me or Steph? Come on now, brother. Matthew Ledesma, Steph, who takes the belt off Britt? DMD, if she wins it.
If. Jade Cargill at Revolution or Full Gear if she really accelerates.
Yes, Steph. I feel like we're on the same page with this. Everyone else is I don't know. You don't know she's ready. Oh, come on. Come on now. She's in that. I'm telling you, Jade Cargill, I've said this before, is in that rookie class of like elite people we were talking about yesterday. She is an outstanding phenomenon. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I am telling you. Do you guys believe WWE Raw set the ratings for the week? It seems like if Raw's ratings down, everyone else is. That's actually not a bad shout. Because I know what you mean. Like, it being the biggest show, quote unquote, even though SmackDown really is now. And for the week, that can maybe set the tone for wrestling fans. But I also think people like what they like. If there's anything we've seen between NXT and AEW moving off the same night, is that they have their own fans, right? Yeah. So I don't know if Raw, like, having a bad week would then mean Dynamite definitely has a bad week. I don't think it's linked intrinsically like that. But I do applaud your logic. I see why you might think that.
Yeah, me too. I think sometimes if you get really bad wall when it comes to the other WWE shows, certain fans just get fatigued and then don't watch SmackDown or NXT.
Alex, you said on your Insta that Queen isn't your jam. Steph, is Queen your jam? And Alex, what is your jam? Steph, do you like Queen?
I do like Queen.
I put them
top 20 favorite bands. Ooh. So not that much, but not. Yeah, no, actually, well, there's millions of bands. So top 20 is pretty good.
That's a lot.
I do like Queen.
So I was asked between Queen and the Rolling Stones. Like, it was either or. And I just said that genre isn't really my bag. But I picked Queen out of the two of them. But my bag is. Sounds so like generic here, but I like R&B and hip hop. But 90s R&B is like my bag, like early 90s. There's a lot of good albums, like, I don't know if you remember Joe, you remember like Stutter, that guy. He had an album in 93 called Everything, that's really great. R. Kelly, which I know is a really dirty name these days, but obviously Born into the 90s is a great album. And there's a few others, man. I really like that early 90s R&B sound. I'm very much an old guy.
I don't know anything about early 90s R&B.
That's fine, Steph.
My jam is more Queen and the Rolling Stones. That's my jam. Well, they should have asked me.
Yeah, you need to do Insta Q&As. I haven't seen you do any of those. Let us in,
Steph. I did one.
When?
I did one once. About 2-3 months ago. I'll do another one tonight.
Do it. I'm going to come through and ask some questions. let's see what else we've got going on. Yeah, I'm going to do that every week now because that was one of the most kind of... I put it on Twitter that I was doing it and it was really cool, like some of the variety of questions. You know what I mean? I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So do that on a weekly basis, I think. What else we got going on here? If you all had to pick a wrestler to manage, regardless of company, who would you pick and why? Wow. This is a better question for Steph. She's management material all over. Steph, what do you reckon?
That's very difficult because it's who do I want to manage and who needs a manager. So I'd say the people I most want to manage don't need one. So I'm going to go with Wardlow. I would manage Wardlow. Get him away from MJF. Or I'll manage Hook/babysit.
Babysit. Oh, God. Who would I pick?
I'll manage Jade Cargill if they're hiring.
Sure. I mean, she's open. I mean, I would take someone who just can't talk and I'd be wacky. I don't know. Give me Jeff Hardy, right? I'd be like Michael Hayes in the late 90s going, Jeff, why don't you jump off this? Yeah, I can do that. I could do that. Yeah. I'd be the worst manager ever. Like, every segment I'd be going, Jeff, you just jump off that, man. Come on. You know, people who'd get over there, I think. SB3, will Steph get 5 thug tears painted on her face if the Inner Circle lose on Sunday? Also, what does she consider the greatest Inner Circle moment besides their debut?
Okay, I'm not getting 5 thug tears but I appreciate it. I will have more than 5 real tears on my face, though, if they lose. The greatest Inner Circle moment. That is so hard. I honestly think, and it's a more recent one, when they came back after the Pinnacle was formed, was a great moment, like them in the bathroom. But I also think the formation of the Pinnacle, that whole segment, is one of the greatest things I've ever seen in wrestling as well. I love the skits that the Inner Circle did when the pandemic started. I love the Bubbly Bunch. All of that was so great. Flim Flam. All that stuff. I adore. One of the best unsung hero was Jake Hager when he told his kids earmuffs before he swore. That was when I knew Jake Hager was a lovely, lovely guy. But yeah, there's so many great Inner Circle moments. I can't believe I'm not hosting that on Dynamite and it's freaking Eric Bischoff taking my spot, but whatever. He's had enough spots.
Yeah, he has, man. Jericho bringing him back. After all your interviews, I thought Jericho would give you the plug, Steph. Tanol says, when AEW is finally able to make it to the UK, what would you like to see as the top of the show match? No storyline implications. Interestingly enough, it was going to be Moxley and Brian Cage, right? That was going to be Fighter Fest. That was what we were going to get in London. So it would have been a world title match. So, Steph, have you got any ideas of what you think would be the top UK match?
I hope they don't do something annoying, like just make it Anthony Ogogo, because he's from the UK. And that's no offense to him. And by the time they get to the UK, which God knows when it will be, he could be the biggest thing ever. And if he is, then he deserves it. If it's a let's watch him because he's from the UK, then no. So just a really great, what I want, and I think what fans who are not from North America should always want, and that's kind of been the problem sometimes with New Japan stuff, we want exactly what you would give an American audience, something that's worthy. So let's say Kenny Omega's the champion, Kenny Omega versus, I don't know, John Moxley, like something that's worthy of an American crowd, we want the same thing.
Yeah, my thing is, right, if I go to America as a Brit and I watch the Lakers, I want to see LeBron James. If I go and watch, you know, my favorite football team, I want to see the biggest players. That's what we want. You want them to bring over their A game. You don't want to get, they're coming to the UK. And, you know, like WWE used to give us the, I can't remember now, like what the Saturday pay-per-views were for a while, like Insurrection, right?
Insurrection.
Like, they were just house shows, right? Like, you know, nothing happened.
Nothing happened. And I was too young to realize nothing would happen.
Yeah, we're like, oh, wow, look at this. Oh, okay. Tay Conti or Anna Jay? Wow. Tay Conti for me.
Oh, is this between them? Oh, Tay Conti, but both of them are great.
I was just about to say, that's a terrible question. as in a terrible position to be in. But I do think Tay Conti has got a huge upside. I really do. Who else we got going in here? Lenny is answering you, Steph. Do you see that in the live chat? He says, oh, poor Steph. I'm sure you'll find somebody. If I'm still single in 10 years, well, I'm 32. I'll hit you up if you're still single too. There you go, Steph.
Dude, don't bother hitting me up till you're 52 for a start. Why?
I'm genuinely howling at someone who said, you know what, Steph? In a decade. If you're still going in a decade, Steph, I'll have a go. Wow.
If I haven't died from loneliness.
That's genuinely, I don't even think they meant it that funny, but that genuinely is one of the funniest things I've ever read.
I'm single because we've been in a pandemic for a year and I can't go out and hit up 50 old men like I want to, you know?
60, 60, Steph, come on now. I wonder how long Jenny will be the belt collector.
Back to business.
Yeah. Let's skirting away from Steph's like decade-long loneliness, apparently. I wonder how long Kenny will be the belt collector and if he will lose the title this year. I think the last pay-per-view of the year, he probably drops it, I think.
I think it depends on whether or not he can do Wrestle Kingdom or he wants to do Wrestle Kingdom or what happens there. I mean, I feel like if I was New Japan right now, I'd feel so much like on life support that I'd like make a deal with Omega instantly. But I think it depends on that. If he does Wrestle Kingdom, he'll lose it at Revolution. If he doesn't, he'll lose it at Fighter Fest.
SB3 and me are so tight. Singing Joe Stutter next Wednesday in some SWV week. SWV with the greatest bridge in the history of R&B, and I'm in so into you. And I'm well aware that only me and SB3 are enjoying this conversation.
Yes, very much so.
Is it true Don Callis quit Impact? I don't know if quit's the right word, but he's moved away from his position there pretty much, right? Like, creatively, I don't think he has as much input anymore. I read the report was at the last tapings that, you know, it's more Scott D'Amore and all those guys now. Don Callis is kind of just a talent, but he still is involved with Impact, as far as I'm aware. Mm-hmm.
I doubt Don will ever quit wrestling. I mean, he did for a brief period, but look at the comeback he's had.
Mm. Oh, God, yeah. Can't say much about that. When did Wrestling Daily turn into Tinder?
there's so many like first. I want to say that there's nothing perfect about Steph.
I knew as soon as I said, "Oh, well, let's do a Q&A with Steph Chase." I knew this was going to happen. Steph, who do you think has been pandemic MVP for NXT? NXT UK, Raw, SmackDown, and AEW. Matty, you love loading up a question. I'll tell you that.
I'm just going to answer for WWE and AEW. For WWE, my pandemic MVP is completely Bayley. I think she is the one.
Yes.
For AEW, I'm going to give it to Moxley, who I think did a really good job being the pandemic champion.
Yeah. I actually agree with both those picks. NXT UK is very, remember they had a 6-month sabbatical, so it's very difficult.
Yeah.
But, you know, Kaylee Ray, maybe. She's been so great. You know, bangers with Miko and many others. Can't argue with that. We do have some Ultra Chats to get into as well. Do your kids watch wrestling, says Jeremy Bauman. No, they don't really understand. I mean, they do catch it sometimes when I'm like working and it's on and whatever, and Harper, who's my eldest, will just come along and like chop me and stuff, and I'll be like, don't chop me, please don't go to school and chop people. They do enjoy it, right? So sometimes when they see the entrances and that, they're like, wow. And I have one of those mini belts that me and Steph have discussed before. I'm not sure where it is right now. It's like a tiny belt, basically. And she likes to go, I'm the champion, but she doesn't understand. They don't understand, but I won't like not let them watch it. When they're ready to watch it, they can watch it. Even though the mum doesn't feel that way, but don't tell her. What else have we got going on here? Poor Steph. We all love you. Not just a wrestling fan, but also you're a wonderful person, says Zeka. There you go. There you go, Steph.
Thank you. I am a wonderful, wonderful person. Just waiting for the right sugar daddy. No, I'm not that rich.
I bought some wireless ones. Was it late last year? I think it was before I traveled to Fight Island this year. I was like, I need some wireless Beats because the wire was just getting on my nerves and it had broken.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm not joking, I really took a long time whether I was going to buy them or not, because they were in the sale down to like, I don't know, 160 maybe. And I still thought, that's a lot for headphones. You know what I mean?
Too much.
I was like, honestly, I wrestled with the decision for days. What else have we got? Do you know when we'll get a decent TV deal for AEW rather than final streams? I think they're quite happy with what they're doing with Fight, as far as I can tell, Steph.
I think they're happy with Fight, and I don't think they're fully aware that the ITV deal is not the best deal. I think they're happy to be on ITV, but it could be better. But I think if the pandemic hadn't happened, they would have got something happen with ITV where they got a better time and all of that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, they've all made it clear to me in the past that they want to have like a live TV deal. Of course they do. But I think ITV, because they were a brand new company at the time, the commitment was a bit... Cody didn't really skirt around it. He just said they had to prove to ITV that they were worth having. And it seems like they are gradually. So they've things working out great in America. Let's hope that they do over here as well. But I will say Fight TV allowing my Samsung TV to host Dynamite has made life 10 times easier for me. So I actually, nice. I'm not fast. I only pay what? I think it's $4.99.
Yeah, it's so cheap.
Doesn't bother me. John McNeil, Alex, Lakers all the way, or are you concerned for them? Oh, I'm very concerned for them. If like LeBron and AD don't play well, we have a problem. I think we will get past the Suns. You know, if Drummond can prevent Ayton from grabbing all the boards. I know Steph wants to chime in here. But you know, if they play well, we'll be fine. But I'm not convinced we'll win it. It all depends what the Nets and the Bucks do. To be honest,
I'm not concerned at all. Lakers all the way.
Yeah, go on, Steph. right, let's move over to some ultra chats. We've got one here from Planted and ASMR, a prediction for the Cody Agogo match. Cody goes for the disaster kick off his springboard cutter and gets punched in the ribs by Agogo. That's the finish. What do you think, Steph?
Is that Planet Dan ASMR? love that.
I butchered it, yeah. What do you think? ASMR.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a good finish. I think that he's got to get caught in the punch. You know, he's not going to see it coming.
Yeah, I agree. I think he wins that way. You got to put over the finisher. You have to. You have to.
Yeah.
With this, going to take one more. Chris Petru says, for AEW's pandemic MVP, I'm going to go with Eddie Kingston.
He's a good shout too. But I think he's his own pandemic MVP because that guy got himself a job in the pandemic and he got himself over and he did extremely well.
I know. I was gutted that. So me and you were both lobbying for Eddie Kingston, weren't we?
Yeah.
And the last, like, it looked like it was going to happen. And then last minute, they were like, oh, he's not available. And you ended up with Darby, right? That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I've never spoken to Darby before. So that was really great. He was very nice.
I had Scorpio Sky as well. So you can check out both of our interviews with those guys this week before Double or Nothing. I spoke to Frankie Monet today.
Ooh,
yeah, I did.
Very nice. That's cool.
One of her first interviews since joining WWE. So that was very cool to get, like, you know, the exclusives and the details. So that will drop tomorrow. Yeah. She was really, really nice. I said at one point, I said one question where I was like, she didn't even let me finish. And I was like, do you think John Morrison being at WWE? And she was like, well, no, like, you know, people assume that because my husband's there that... And I was like, whoa, I wasn't saying that you're only at WWE because John Morrison. The point was, she was saying that he'd been very encouraging and wanted her to come with him, which obviously made things a lot better. Yeah, if you go on my Twitter, you'll see the photo I posted. She had him for the interview. So there you go.
Nice.
The dog accompanied us. Anyway, 9:03. This has been a lot of fun talking about Steph and pensioners and Tinder. Apparently, I knew it would just descend into this. Steph.
Oh my gosh! Luckily, all the men I talk to don't like wrestling, so they'll never watch this.
Would you want someone as your partner who did watch wrestling? I was going to say, because I think that's it's a difficult place to be if you've got these wrestling. I mean, my missus is just like, what? She knows who they are because I interviewed them, but she doesn't watch it. If she sits there, she's like, what the hell is this? And I can't really, defend it. Anyway, that is all for tonight, guys. Thank you so much for your questions. We really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. I'll be back tomorrow with Phil Lindsay of Bleacher Report and Sports Keeder, among many other places. Next week, Andy Shepherd is going to be in the house from NXT UK as well on Friday. So we've got some cool stuff on the horizon. Steph, last plugs, because it is Double or Nothing week. Tell the people what you're up to.
Yeah. Cool. Go to my YouTube and you'll see a Dynamite preview, an interview with Darby Allin. Watch that for sure. Tonight, 2 hours, me and Ben are going to look at Double or Nothing 2019. Tomorrow, fingers crossed, I get up a video which is like everything you've ever wanted to know about Stadium Stampede, the first one, like how it came together, every single thing. And then Saturday, it is AEW Weekly because of the Dynamite switch. Sunday, myself and Kenny McIntosh will be doing the Double or Nothing pre-show, the hour before Double or Nothing. Watch my pre-show instead of AEW's. Have that on mute in the background, though. Not that I'm saying not to watch those. What, give them the ratings, but, you know. I hope Cody didn't hear that. I did not say that. And then Monday, it's not over because me and SB3 will review Double or Nothing over on my channel as well. I think that's like 9 or 10 p.m. on Monday. But it's a lot.
And let me tell you something. Steph Chase will be on Talk Wrestling on Monday. I've already booked her
to review Double or Nothing. You booked me early. I'll also be on, this will be really fun, guys, on SB3, the True Heel Heat YouTube. Saturday afternoon, it's me and Benno. He booked us both together. So we're going to go through Double or Nothing. Yeah, we are tag teaming for that one. So that's going to be really, really fun.
I love the guys at True Heel Heat. They are a great team over there. So
they're so great.
It's great that the UK is going to invade with a tag team as well. I look forward to watching that. Make sure you catch all of Steph's stuff this week for Double or Nothing. There's no better place to be heading into a pay-per-view week for AEW. So make sure you check it out. Follow her on all those platforms. You see the handle, Instagram and Twitter. Same for myself, up top, Instagram and Twitter. We'll do some Q&As in the coming days. Yes, right. Until then, thank you so much for stopping by, guys. Remember, like, subscribe, all of that good stuff for Wrestling Daily. And we will see you next week. Bye.